This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience puts you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle has blown in the game between Morocco and Croatia. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
So we are back in the car driving away from Al Bayt Stadium after match number 12 of the FIFA World Cup, Morocco versus Croatia. In the car with me is Farid Mondragon, Sunday Elise, Alberto Zaccaroni, Elliot Stornell and myself, Chris Loxton. Alberto, you were focusing on Croatia today, 2018 World Cup runners-up. In 0-0 draw, it's the third 0-0 we've had in only 12 matches. Talk to me through what you observe from Croatia.
Bene, la Croazia nel primo tempo.
Well, the Croatian started the game with a 4-3-3 playing style in the first half.
In Morocco.
That was synonymous to what the opponent of the day was playing, Morocco.
Rispettando il
sistema di gioco, played their game in a way that they tried to come out vertically on the side.
Rompendo la riga per linee verticali.
They played in a way that did not really was not offensive. They did not try to open up, so they played compact even with the ball. They did not try to take risks, and people didn't have offers ahead of the player who had the ball in possession. The only one who seemed to, and they were kind of like static, the only one who seemed to like move around left, right, wherever he wanted to, was Luka Modric. Well, it's like as if the game plan was just to look for Modric, try to find Modric and let him do the playmaking. The fullbacks tried to like go over, like to bypass the midfield and try to find the attackers in front, but they had very few numbers up front. So, well, in the first half, they did not take too much risk and they did not play quick. They did not even try to add pace and to their play, and that made it easier, relatively easy for the Moroccans. The last 20 minutes of the game, they kind of like tried to win it, so they put more players up front and they tried to also increase the tempo of play, tried to force the game, and that was it.
Soluzioni offensive e ha portato più uomini nella metà campo avversaria.
Brilliant, thank you. And Elliot, what numbers do we have on Croatia?
Yeah, so in a game where both teams try to keep hold of possession, Croatia spent 18 minutes in build-up unopposed, and Luka Modric, who we mentioned previously, received the ball in front of the opposition shape 71 times, which indicates that he was trying to drop down to get on the ball and try and dictate play.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of Modric coming down, certainly into the defensive line, trying to help, as you said, trying to build play. But Sunday, let's talk about Morocco. Definitely came out to try and win the game. Many half chances. But talk us through your observations.
Well, the Moroccans came up with a kind of like unorthodox to people at home, a 4-1-4-1 playing style, where and the 4-1 the central defensive midfielder Amrati, what he did very, very good was that he always gave like a coverage, he gave a cover like an umbrella to the central defense, and that made it difficult for the opponent's Croatians to reach the central attacker they had. Now, by playing the 4-1-4-1 style, they were always well positioned and shifted as a team, and that way they went into pressing. The interesting aspect tactically and technically what they did that made them really dominate the game, in my opinion, was the fact that when they had the ball, they went into pressing to try to win the ball back, and they doubled up the opposition. And even when they lost the ball, especially up front, as long as they were all not far away from the ball, they counter-pressed, won the ball back. So they were pressing without the ball, in, as long as, because they played like a mid-pressing, But also in the second half, what they now added to the game, the first 15, 20 minutes of the game, they tried to win it. They pushed up a little bit higher and tried to press even a little bit higher and force the Croatians to lose the ball in areas that were not too far from goal so that they could finish. I personally feel that had they had a point striker who was deadly, pacey, strong, they could have carried the day.
Okay, just coming to what Sunday mentioned about players doubling up. We had the top pressures being Ziyech, who was the right winger, and Amala, who was the right central midfielder, which indicates they both tried to go and press with each other at the same time. And obviously with having the defensive midfielder as a screen behind, it allowed them to go and press more freely.
Yeah, the idea was that they started pressing in areas that had less space. So when the opposition played the ball, the Croatians, when they tried to play to the side where the space was narrow, where they had narrowed up the space, then they pressed offensively. But in central areas, they couldn't press very much, and they didn't need to, because let's face it, the Croatians did not try to go through them much. So probably because they were well positioned by the 4-1-4-1s, impeded the possibility to play inside, or also because the Croatians were not trying to take risks also. So whichever way, that's how it turned out.
Just an interesting note on Morocco's pressing there. After the 65th minute, we had the mid-press state of 8.44%, which is the highest we've seen so far in the competition.
Well, if I may add to it, that summarizes what the game was, I think, in the sense of the pressing, I think.
Farid, it was a game with lots of half chances, but not many, so many big chances that the goalkeepers had to come into play. But again, talk us through the two keepers this afternoon.
Yeah, not great saves, but very accurate and determinant actions. I start with the Moroccan goalkeeper, Bono. I think he was really, really into the game today. Very precise with the deliveries with his feet. He's a very agile and fast feet goalkeeper with a good technique, going away to get crosses without a problem. There's a fantastic save he makes after a deflection in a corner when he's going to get his position backwards, and then he has to stretch in front. That was very agile and very determined from his side. From the Croatian goalkeeper, Livaković, we had a big question marks how he was going to be managing this debut as a starter, but I think he did also very, very well. Good reaction and deflection, deviation with a strike in the second half. Very fast and difficult ball. He just got the ability to deviate and to throw the ball very long into the side, and then also going very far to get crosses, and with the feet not complicating himself, and very accurate and very precise.
Brilliant. Well, Germany, Japan is starting in 20 minutes, and we're on our way to Altamama Stadium to watch Spain versus Costa Rica. Spain going out, if you remember, 4 years ago to Russia on penalties, I think was in the round of 16. And yeah, look, wow, what a tournament we're having so far. And the traffic is not too bad for us, actually, so hopefully we should be there in plenty of time. Tune in later for the podcast on Spain-Costa Rica.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.